Live from 49ers headquarters in Santa Clara, California, this is 49ers Radio with your host, Taylor Price.
Hey, we're back with Peter Schrager, Fox Sports, and Good Morning Football, the hit show that I watch every morning, and I suggest our fans watch it too. Peter, thanks for talking 49ers GM coaching search with us.
I love it. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to come on with you, my man.
Yeah, so I see your Twitter handle, at @pshrags. Breaking some news here. We have a new interview scheduled next week with Sean McDermott. What are you hearing on that?
Yeah, isn't it like you're unveiling and door number 7 is Sean McDermott? This is what it feels like with the 49ers. But yeah, got that one out there today. We're recording this on a Thursday, but Sean McDermott's the latest name to be added. I believe USA Today was first with the Tom Cable news earlier in the afternoon. But Sean McDermott, Adam, it looks like I'm not exactly who from the 49ers brass, but it looks like they're going on a little barnstorming tour. I know they're in Green Bay meeting with two front office executives there. And then they'll be making their way to the East Coast. I imagine McDermott is early next week. Will be interviewing for the head coaching job, obviously. But as there's a general manager job vacant, it's like they're doing double duty on this trip, trying to get as many interviews in as they can.
We heard Jed York, CEO, say at his press conference, championship culture. That was the phrase that pays. That was the one that he reiterated several times. How do you see the culture playing out, whether it's from Green Bay, New England, there's some reports over there, and maybe even Seattle. Which culture do you think makes most sense for a relocation in San Francisco?
You know, it's so interesting. I went through, I like to go through the history and like figure out like, okay, so they're trying to fill a head coaching and a GM candidate open. So I can't find, like in recent memory at least, a spot where you poach two guys from the same team and suddenly, you know, we're building it from this team west. You know, like an example would be if you get Casario and McDaniels and suddenly you're 49ers West, or you get Trent Kirchner and Tom Cable and you're Seahawks South, you know, something like that. There is not a long history of that. So that would be a revolutionary look at this. How do you poach two guys at once? And then if you do that, then I guess you immediately assume that team's culture. Now, what if you do a little mix and match? What if it's McVay, who comes from the Redskins, but really is from the Gruden tree and Bruce Allen and all that, and you have that Redskins kind of feel, and then your GM, for example, I'm just throwing out a name, but say your GM is the guy out in Oakland, Joey Clicksales, you know, and you have him, and then it's this clash of two guys, or not clash, but a meshing of two guys from two different cultures, and they kind of establish their own in a melting pot. So to me, the whole, you know, the coach comes in, he brings his culture, a little bit is overblown of that, right? Like, I don't feel like you guys were doing win the day out in San Francisco because Chip Kelly was an Oregon guy, and Dan Quinn went down to Atlanta. I was around that team a lot this year, and it doesn't feel necessarily like you're in Seattle. Yes, there's pieces of that Pete Carroll, you know, every Pete every moment and the whole thing in positive thinking and what have you, but it doesn't necessarily feel like, okay, I might as well be in Seattle right now. So I think each coach has his own philosophy, his own background, his own identity. I think each general manager builds a team, or if it's the first time general manager, has a vision of how they would build a team, and it's how those two mesh. So I can't stress it enough. Just if you hire Tom Cable, it's not like, okay, we're getting the Seahawks culture. No, Tom Cable was in Oakland for a long time before that, and Tom Cable had a long history before that too. So you're not getting the most recent place or where these guys were, but you're getting kind of a poo-poo platter or a smorgasbord of a lot of different influences and a lot of different guys and a lot of different cultures right there.
The totality of their resume.
The totality, the beautiful chemistry equation.
That's right. So we heard Ted Robinson on our 49ers Live desk clamor for an offensive mind. He said, 49ers football synonymous with quarterbacks, the West Coast offense, passing. And even Steve Young was on KNBR talking about he wants an offensive-minded coach. Now this McDermott interview is interesting because it's a defensive coordinator, but where do you weigh on this side of the fence of, does it need to be an offensive-minded coach coming in, or is it just best person available, best culture fit for the 49ers?
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, Harbaugh was an offensive mind, right? Tom Sula was a defensive mind. Chip Kelly was offensive. So you go that way. Now, Kevin Demoff, who's the Rams president, made a really good point in his press conference. He said, you don't need to be an offensive coach to have a successful offensive team. And I think in so many words, he was discussing that Atlanta Falcons unit, which is Dan Quinn, a defensive coordinator his whole entire life, does not call the plays, does not do any of that. It's the only offense in the league because their offensive coordinator was Kyle Shanahan. So to me, I don't look as much into that. I look about who's going to set the tone for the organization. So if Sean McVay is 30 years old, offense or defense, you're getting a totally different feel to this organization than if you go with Mike Smith, who's 57 years old and spent his time on the defensive side of the ball. But at the end of the day, who are the coordinators? Who's your quarterback? And what is the culture your coach is setting? Are you one of these upbeat coaches? Are you one of these other guys who's more, you know, in the film room and can concoct the X's and O's? Are you a combination of both? It sounds like I might be blustering a little bit and just kind of going around in circles, but the truth of the matter is you can hire anybody as a coach, but who's calling the plays, who's your quarterback, and who are the position coaches might matter even more.
Yeah, that's well said. Real quick, want to run down the quick list of reported candidates that Matt Maiocco of CSN Bay Area, one of our great beat writers, he has Anthony Lynn, Kyle
Love
Shanahan.
That.
Yeah, he's the Cobra. He's the man. Anthony Lynn, Kyle Shanahan, Josh McDaniels, Sean McVay, Vance Joseph, Tom Cable, and now Sean McDermott. Out of all those names, if you had to put one on a top of the list or your favorite for this job, which one would be the name?
Ooh.
A lot
curious
to play out,
to
of course.
Happens. I'm curious to see what happens with the Cable deal because, and I don't think, you know, there might be another two teams or another team that's interviewing Tom Cable, but it's not exactly like throughout the season with the Seahawks offensive line, which I believe is one of the least talented in football and maybe performing one of the worst in football. It's not like anyone's banging down the doors to get Tom Cable, and there's a history with him. I mean, you just do a Google search on Tom Cable. He's had some issues with other coaches. He's had some other issues. Like, Tom Cable is such an unorthodox pick, but you keep on hearing his name. I think what happens there is, there might be a little bit of, you know, you're double dipping on this because you not only get Tom Cable, but maybe you get a general manager candidate from there too. And the two names are Scott Fitterer and Trent Kirchner. And then if you get both of those guys, as much as you guys hate Seahawks and hate the 12s and hate that whole deal, you're taking a big swipe out of their coaching staff and their front office in doing that. So you not only maybe start a new culture in San Francisco, but you take a big piece out of what they had in your rival Seattle. So to me, I'm not saying that's the favorite by any means, but to me, that is the most intriguing. Now, the McDaniel stuff and the Kyle Shanahan, those are the sexy picks. Those are young guys. They're offensive minds. They're lighting it up. They're great with young quarterbacks. Completely, completely possible and more or less plausible. But to me, the Tom Cable one was such a bizarre name that we haven't been hearing in other circles that something has to be to it, and I would keep an eye on that one because, truthfully, if you can take two guys from Seattle, that suddenly hurts them and helps you at the same time.
Yeah, that's a great point and something to play out for sure. It looks like there's no rush to make a decision when you have so many teams right now. They're all sort of going after the same names. Any wild cards, anything we should be looking for the next few weeks or days here?
You know, the general manager deal is interesting. Like, you know that they're going to meet with Caserio. They're going to meet with Lewis Riddick from ESPN. Like, to me, Trent Baalke has been such a stable, such a consistent, such a just fixture since Jed York got there, and he's outlasted Jed. I mean, he's there since 2005. So to me, the coaches come and go, but it feels like in this 49ers culture, whether it's been John McVay, whether, you know, over the years, whoever the other general managers have been, and then obviously right up to Trent, it's like these are the guys that are going to put the talent on the field. And I did a 49ers game this year, a sideline reporter for the Atlanta game. And you got Vinny Sinceri starting at linebacker because of injury, and you're trotting out Quentin Patton and whoever else as your starting wide receivers. Yeah, there's a talent deficiency. Like, first and foremost, I think the 49ers need to load that roster with new talent, get some young bodies, get some free agents, and bring back that. And that's coming from the general manager more than the head coach in my eyes. So very interested to see how that plays out almost as much as who the head coach is.
That's great analysis. Peter Schrager, as always, at P. Schrags. You can follow him on Twitter. Check him on Good Morning Football, one of the best shows out there. All right, Peter, appreciate you, man. Look forward to covering and watching this the rest of the way.
Follow the Twitter feed. Hopefully I'll have some more news in the next couple of days.
Please, scoop away.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.